Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
That is how you start off the holiday, by making sure no fireworks are going off at Coors Field. How about it? Brewers shut out the Rockies 3-0, third time in franchise history. Milwaukee has put a zero on the board at Coors Field, one of the most friendly hitter environments in baseball. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. My thanks to Bob Brainerd for filling in last night. Augie, this one is right up your alley tonight, my friend. Colin Ray, Jacob Junis, 7-2. What a night for Colin Ray. He's obviously the story, the player of the game, everything. He is the most consistent starter on the Brewers, and today he proved why he has been the most valuable starter on the Brewers at this point in the season. 7 shutout innings against the Colorado Rockies. What a night for Ray.
Yeah, he pitched really well. Excuse me, but I tell you, the one thing that we talked about this after the first game, Dom, we talked about pitching. When you're pitching Colorado, it's different. The air is different. You can't. Don't get the good break. Sometimes it's more of a rolling curveball, and you have to really be able to pitch with your fastball. And I thought what Colin Ray did, he understood that by watching the first two games, that he had to be precise with his breaking ball. He had to throw a lot of pitches on the corners. I thought he pitched the ball down and away with really effectiveness. But when he needed his breaking ball, he made some good pitches. A lot of times when you pitch in the light air like you have in Colorado, they all say, when you throw a breaking ball, you have to over-exaggerate it. That means you have to follow through more, get that good break. I thought he threw a couple of good sweepers tonight that really had that good break in times when he needed them. It was effective. It showed the opponents that, hey, he does have that good breaking ball. But Colin Ray tonight was fantastic, and he did it with his fastball.
Yeah, I mean, I think the numbers obviously bear this out too, but this is also his path to success last week against the Cubs as well, because you know you can look at it by pitch group. So the four-seam fastball, the cutter, and the sinker, they're all considered fastballs with air quotes, right? Last week against the Cubs, he threw 78% of his pitches were one of those three pitches, fastballs, and he had arguably one of his most successful starts of the season. He also struck out 7, only allowed 3 hits, all of them on that fastball. Today, that was part of the story again of just being able to command with that fastball, and it was the majority of his day when it comes to trusting the heater. Like you said, understanding the ball is not going to break as much. Same rate as it was against the Cubs. 78% of his pitches today were either the sinker, the cutter, or the fastball.
Yeah, he. When you look at what he's done today with those pitches, and you're exactly right, they're velocity pitchers. You locate them, but he has such great feel for them. And you know, when you talk about Colin Ray, it's about being able to go out and execute pitches. And he does have that good breaking ball. I tell you, I thought a couple of his sweepers that he threw, or sliders, you want to call them, or whatever you want to call them, the sweepers that he threw, he had a really good tilt on it. That's something we haven't seen. Usually they're a little bit more east-west. Today he had that a little bit more north-south, very effective. And it just looked like on those pitches you over-exaggerated. But it is so important to locate your pitches. We talk with Colin Ray. It's so important for him, really, to play the outside edges and expand the strike zone. And I thought he did an excellent job at that. Just continually stayed with that fastball, expanded the strike zone, and then when he needed it, he did throw a couple breaking balls that were very effective.
Yeah, he wasn't relying on chase, but he did get a good handful of it. That also helped the lack of well-hit balls really against him. And I thought that was a big difference, too. Of you look at the last two nights with Dallas Keuchel last night and Colin Ray tonight. The key at Coors, you can't be afraid to pitch the contact. You just can't. And a couple balls are hit well, sure, but at the same time, you're not mad about ground ball singles at Coors Field. You're fine with that. I know it can escalate quickly, but there's a rhyme and reason to this, to understanding, look, if the ball's not getting elevated, it can't keep flying. If the ball is a jam shot, it's not going to hurt me in the long run. And you saw that getting 12 ground balls tonight from Colin Ray, too. He's always a guy that doesn't rely on swing and miss. And tonight was another perfect example of that. It's always welcome when you get it, but he's the type of guy that can survive without it.
And when he does, he locates the ball down. And like you said, he had 12 ground balls tonight. Maybe I think 9 of them were outs or whatever it was. When you think of skipping the ball down, pitching down in the zone, using that two-seamer and that four-seamer and a cutter down low, pitching low for strikes, and then being able to explode with the ball up in the zone, you don't get that good contact. Yeah, guys will fight it off and they'll hit fly balls, but you don't get that solid contact. And I think he got that tonight. I thought he threw the ball extremely well. I thought he threw the ball very well last time out with the strikeouts and everything, the way he threw it. I like tonight better. I like the way he located the ball. He stayed ahead. He had no walks. And he was always in command from inning one right to the end of 97 pitches. He was in command. And when you talk about a guy who's in command, duplicating what he needs to do, expanding strike zone, using his fastball, using the breaking ball when he needs, that's pretty darn good performance. And I thought tonight might have been his better performance than he actually had with Chicago.
Yeah, I agree entirely, especially when you consider the run scoring environment. There is some offense to talk about and a couple of all-stars as well. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Over the Rockies, I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine's with us as well. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank National Association, member FDIC. Couple of texts here, Augie. This one from Doug. Collin just keeps getting better and better. This guy is turning out to be one of the better number two starters in the National League. Amazing. That one from Doug. Ringo and Goodman. Hey, Dom. Crew tied the 2018 club for the fastest to 52 wins. And now 52 players have now contributed so far in 87 games. I believe it is 51 until Savali appears in a game. I am not 100% certain on that number. But the point is, they've used a ton of guys, Augie. And let's start with the big headline from right before the first pitch today. Two All-Star starters, multiple starters in the All-Star game for the Brewers for the first time since 2014. And it'll be Christian Yelich and William Contreras representing the Brewers in the starting lineup coming up down in Arlington. An obvious, incredible honor that both are extremely well-deserved.
And very deserving. When you look at what William Contreras has done behind the plate, not only on the at the plate, but behind the plate, he's just been sensational. Probably the best catcher in the National League and maybe all of baseball. And to watch Christian Yelich in that three spot. I know at one time you and I had talked about possibly moving him back to that first spot, but I'll tell you what, the way he's swinging the bat, he's so relaxed. Now he's starting to get a little bit so shy, signs of power, getting the ball out of the ballpark when he gets the ball up over the plate. He just looks so relaxed, understand what he wants to do, and is able to hit the ball to all fields. This is probably as close to the Christian Yelich that we saw from the MVP years is that we have had in the last couple of years. But he looks so good swinging the bat, and he just looks like he's under control. Understands, slows the game down, and just having a great year.
Yeah, I think when it comes to William Contreras, we've talked about it a lot. The goals that were put on the board in front of William at the start of the year, Kurt Hoag wrote a great story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this. Just the Mamba Challenge the Brewers gave William Contreras at the start of the year when he arrived. And the number one thing, you know, the first thing that you read, there are four things on that list, including top five in MVP voting, another Silver Slugger, a Gold Glove, and another All-Star game. Well, he can check one of those boxes, and that's always a massive victory to have, you know, halfway through the season to really feel the honor to be the starting catcher in a position that a lot of people thought he would never be able to stick at. And William Contreras, the starting catcher, playing through thick and thin for the Brewers, and will be representing them in Arlington.
What a competitor. I tell you, the way he goes about it and the way he plays the game, and you could tell he's so involved in the game in all facets of it, not only behind the plate when he's catching and calling pitches for pitchers, but even when he's at the plate, being able to go up there and make the adjustments that he has to. We've seen him take balls on the inside part of the plate, rip them down the third baseline, and then take that ball off the outside part of the plate and just flip it in the right field. That's a guy who goes up there, really has a good idea, a good understanding, does his studying and understand what the pitcher's going to try to do to him. But he has just been fantastic all year. And like you said, he can check one of the goals. But I'll tell you what, he's well on his way for a lot of good things to happen for the rest of the year. And when you put him and Christian together in that 2-3 slot, boy, that's been magical for the Brewers.
Amen. And tonight, Yelly going yard. He had a great night, 2-for-3, a double, a homer, a walk as well. Yelly loves hitting a Coors. I mean, who doesn't as well? It was his 9th of the year, 444 feet, 112 off the bat. Seeing Yelly the last two nights, right? So he has the broken bat infield hit yesterday, and he burns it up the line. I made a comment because I was able to watch the last three innings of last night's game, and I was like, man, to see a 32-year-old who's had back issues this year run that hard and beat that ball out, that is encouraging. Then what does he do tonight? He hits the second hardest ball he's hit all season long, hits the longest home run he's hit all season long. The dude's healthy. The dude's getting ready to break out. And Christian Yelich is still just a few more plate appearances away from qualifying among league leaders. And now with over 230 at-bats, 250 plate appearances plus, he's still hitting over 300. His on-base is still over 400, and his slugging is still over 500. Augie, you and I both know that's a lofty standard for a lot of players, and for Yelly, who has already missed a lot of time this year, to be this guy still in July. Man, this is when you start to really get excited for what the rest of the year could hold for him.
You know, he's a special player. You know, when he came over, everybody thought, well, what is he going to do in Milwaukee? He just came in and just grabbed Milwaukee and became an MVP, and that's just what he does so well. And you know, the injury that he had a couple years ago with the knee down in Miami really set him back a little bit, but he's fought himself back. And just to see the way he's been swinging the bat, it just reminds me, you know, you take guys that I have played with, had the opportunity to play with, and on the Milwaukee Brewers team that we had, I take Paul Molitor and Robin Yount, and I put Christian Yelich right with that guy. The way he runs the bases, the way he hits the ball to all fields, what he does, like yes, last night you talked about him hustling, and that, you know what, that shows everybody else on the team. Here's your veteran player. Here's where you build your team around, and right here, this guy is going out and busting it from home to first, beats that out, and really what won the ball game for him last night. So when you think about what he's done, I look at him and I say, man, he's right in that class with a Robin and a Paulie. That's pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, that's not those are not gentle names to just throw around of some of the greatest to ever play the game. And just to finish the thought on Yelly yesterday, he reached 30 feet per second still yesterday on his sprint speed yesterday. That's what we call a bolt in the StatCast era. That's really, really, really fast. So to see him healthy is huge. Tonight, when I look at the box score here, Augie, not much to write home about except for the top third of the order, which, you know, can kind of go with a double-edged sword. They had 9 hits tonight, the Brewers. 8 of them were for 1-2-3 in the order. Terang, Contreras, and Yelich. Now, only 1 hit otherwise, which could be a red flag. But to me, that tells me, all right, they scored 3 runs with just really the top 3 guys in the order doing anything tonight. What's going to happen when they have the days when they're all clicking and they're all getting hits? There's still plenty of signals that there's depth in this lineup.
2 things that stood out to me tonight, Dom. Walks. The Brewers' patience at the plate, getting walks. Predick gets the walk. Wild pitch. Boom. Bowers comes up. 2-out hit. So you look at the walks. I think they played a very important role. But again, 2-out hits. What we have seen out of this ball club in this year, 2-out hits are magical. And it played a big role in tonight's ball game. And you see what it did with Predick getting on base. Then there was the wild pitch. He advances a second. Bauer comes up with 2 outs. Takes a good pitch, hits it. They score another run after Yelich's home run in the first. Those are things that you have to do to win ball games, and there's some things that this team does that is pretty special. It's not only the two out hits; it's the walks that go with the 2-out hits. Where they're able to take take it whether there's no outs, one out, or two out, and get on base some safe way or form. Always gives them an opportunity to score some runs, and they've done that a lot this year.
It is no coincidence the Brewers have the third most walks in baseball. They also have the second best on-base percentage as a team in baseball, and also, no surprise, they're top six in all of baseball in runs scored. So they're certainly well on their way with the walks and the patience. It has been working out well for them. Up against the break, we'll take it back with more with Augie after this. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Colin Ray was great. Jacob Junis was good, too. Big win for the Brewers tonight, 3-0. They have the advantage 2-1 in the series now. All the doom and gloom from Monday is past. You got a chance to win a four-game series at Coors Field tomorrow, and you'll be handing the ball to who has been one of the best rookies. He was named to the All-Month team for Major League Baseball. Tobias Myers gets the ball tomorrow. He's going up against maybe the best starter that the Rockies have available to them, Cal Quantrill, the son of former big leaguer Paul Quantrill. And Augie, Tobias, I look at his repertoire, and yeah, he's got a good slider, but I don't think he's a guy that really relies on swing and miss and spin either. Now, the slider's certainly going to make an adjustment, but the changeup's been good lately. The fastball and the cutter are going to be keys for him. And like we talked about, Tobias doesn't have a problem pitching to contact either, just making sure that he can keep the fly balls under control, though, because that's the thing that I worry about. He is a fly ball pitcher.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think the one thing that's going to be important today that, you know, what we've seen on Tobias is actually the ability to pitch high in the zone and get away with those things. Getting just a little bit too high where they get under it, they pop the ball up or they don't make good contact on him. And that's been a big part of his success. And you get into Coors Field, that might change a little bit. Boy, you get that launch angle that you have in Coors Field might be a little bit different, but I think what he's going to have to be make is making that adjustment. Like we've said all along, when you get in the Coors Field, you don't get that sharp break on your breaking ball or that sweeper. You have to use the changeup, you have to use the cutter, and you have to use your fastball in good locations. I think it's going to be important for him to consistently do like he's been doing and pitch up in his zone. But I'm going to tell you what, he's got to be able to establish down in his zone. Let the Colorado Rockies know that he can command the fastball down in his zone with his cutter and his changeup. And if he can do that, that fastball up is going to be very effective. And when he does sort of break a ball, over-exaggerate that, really work at making that look like a good pitch. You throw a couple that look good, it changes everything that the opponents look at because you say, you know what, this guy does have that good breaking ball. Then it makes that fastball just that much better. So it's going to be interesting watching a young pitcher trying to make adjustments in a place that's tougher to pitch.
And the real thing about tonight that impacts tomorrow is how clutch it was that not only Colin Ray went seven, but that Jacob Junis got to do the final two. Now, I know Hobie Milner was up for what felt like the last four innings of the game. He's going to be sore a little bit tomorrow, but this bullpen needed a breather. We knew Miguel was not going to be available tonight. That would have been three in a row for him. Knew Brian Hudson was going to be available tonight. He threw 36 pitches last night. I imagine Hobie will still be available tomorrow, even though he had to throw like almost two innings worth in the bullpen. I wonder if Zastrzyzny will be available tomorrow. I wonder if Elvis Peguero will be available tomorrow, given he blew the save on Monday, technically. I wonder where they find a soft landing for Yoel Piom. So they are still pretty thin in the bullpen tomorrow. They're going to have to get creative, and they still do need length once again from Tobias Myers, which is a tall ask from a rookie at Coors Field.
Yeah, I think it all depends on how far Tobias goes tomorrow. I think if he goes to where he's been doing, he gets in that groove and really able to command the strike zone and goes deeper in the game. If he can give them five or six or even get into the seventh, getting a seventh would be awesome. But yeah, they are looking for some length for him and giving this bullpen a little bit of a break. But they do have guys ready that can come in and do some situations. They got enough guys to finish a game and move on from there. But it's going to be important for Tobias to get a good start, being able to get ahead of hitters and do like Colin Ray did. Colin Ray was not behind on a lot of hitters. He was a strike one type guy, and he got the 12 ground balls that you talked about. That is so important in a ballpark like Coors Field in Colorado. So It's what you have to do. You have to pitch down. He's able to pitch up, but the pitching down and being able to command that strike zone early is going to be very important.
The other thing about today, and nothing to do with the game, Brewers win 3-0. We woke up with some news today that the Brewers made a trade, and this is something the Brewers fans have been asking for. Go get a starting pitcher. Go get a starting pitcher. They got one. Aaron Civale from the Rays, he was previously with the Guardians, his original organization. So, look, if those two teams see something in you, and then the Brewers see something in you, you really got some tools here for the Brewers to get excited about. They traded a 20-year-old infielder, Gregory Barrios, over to Tampa for this one. And the best part about Civale here, Augie, not only is he going to pitch for you the rest of this year, and you make this move a month before the trade deadline, you also get him for all of next season, too. And I think this is a very smart, on-the-margins move from the Brewers. I know some people look at ERA. ERA is not everything. His FIP, fielding and independent pitching, is very good. His ERA is fine. They're not going to find an ace on the market right now. This guy is going to fill innings. He is going to start games. He has four quality starts this year, which would be the second most on the team if he was already on the team. I'm excited to see what the Brewers can get out of Aaron Civale the rest of the year.
Well, I think the one thing, and you've got to look at it, what the Brewers have been able to do with pitchers, and when they get them in, and they're able to take that pitcher, take him apart a little bit, put him back together, and allow him to understand that what you do, we do the best you can with what you got, and we're going to take the balance of your usage, your secondary pitches, and we're going to make those better. But they also go, hey, it's all about pitching ahead, pitching the contact, pitching, making the good pitches when you have to. And Civale has really had some good years with the Guardians. He pitched very well with them, struggled a little bit with Tampa Bay, but hopefully coming to Milwaukee and pitching with the what they do here and how they go about the pitching in games with their game plan, I think could really help him. I think he's the kind of guy that could come and really help this ball club.
Yep. We'll talk more about it with you tomorrow. Have a safe holiday before you join us on the program tomorrow, Augie. We're one of the last games in baseball. A lot of day games tomorrow. We'll hear the fireworks all around us here on the radio. Appreciate you, Augie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Let's hope the Brewers come out and put some fireworks on during the game. It'll be a good to go out and get a. We've been playing in Colorado to take this series would be big. But have a great evening. Big win for the Brewers. Let's go and get the series win tomorrow.
Should be a fun one. Awesome stuff. Former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Talk a little more about Civale up in the next segment as well. We'll hear from Pat Murphy and some highlights a little bit later on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, a lot of folks woke up to the news. Aaron Civale is now a Brewer. He won't meet the team until they're in Los Angeles. He's actually throwing a bullpen down in Arizona at the team's complex before meeting them in Los Angeles. No sense in sending him to the altitude if he's not going to pitch there. Get a better look at what his stuff does in the lab and get him through the car wash and see what he's got. He's a former third rounder out of Northeastern, New England kid. He's from Connecticut, Northeastern in Boston. Cutter, curveball, sweeping slider, fastball, rare split that's been pretty much scrapped to this point in the year. The cutter was his best pitch last year with the Guardians. He threw it 37% of the time. He's thrown it a little bit less this year. It has not been the same for him. There's a stat called run value that you can use to grade just how valuable a pitch is. In 2021 and in 2022, in 2021 his cutter was great, plus 14. In 2022, it fell down to a minus 3 in his last year with Cleveland. Then in 2023 with Tampa, up to a plus 11. And then this year, it's been back to a 1. So it's like, what's going on with that pitch? The whiff has been just about the same. He doesn't get a ton of movement on it. It's just a well-located pitch. He loves to backdoor it to lefties. And he's maybe catching a little bit too much of the zone right now. But his curveball and his sweeper have been really good developments for him to this point in the year. Both of those pitches have above-average whiffs on them. He does give up home runs, and that leads to a lot of concern with his ERA. But one thing that jumps out to me about Civale is normally if you give up a lot of home runs, your FIP is going to be far worse than your ERA. And his FIP is at 4.69, which still is, you know, a little worse than league average. But at the same time, it's better than his ERA, which indicates there's something in the take. Furthermore, previous to this season, during the entire 2023 season, his FIP, his fielding independent pitching, was 357. In 2022, it was 386. And that 2022 team made it to the playoffs with Cleveland. He only made 20 starts that season, though, with the Guardians. He also pitched in the bad luck game five against the Yankees, in which Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton teed off against him in that game. He did not get out of the first inning. So take that, flush it, and make it work. I tweeted this earlier today. The pitching staff's suddenly very crowded, and you've got a lot of guys on the 60-day IL that are working their way back, like D.L. Hall, like Joe Ross, like Devin Williams. Those are three guys that'll be back by the end of the month, and you're going to need to create not only spots on the active roster for them, but also spots on the 40-man roster for them. So there's going to be a lot of movement on the way here for the Brewers around the All-Star break. Take a breather, come back. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers get the win 3-0. Also want to thank, in part, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical for a limited time. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $10 off AC tune-ups or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. And at Sider, your at-home comfort is top priority. Visit Sider.com today. That's SEIDER.com. A happy manager with a couple of all-stars on his roster and another win in his bag. 3-0 tonight. Here's Pat Murphy.
Code Red to come to Colorado and throw seven scoreless is really a remarkable feat. You know, he was convicted all day. You could see it. He was convicted all day. Made some great pitches, had a good plan, stuck with it. And you can't talk about seven scoreless if you don't talk about the catcher. You know, William was terrific. Yelich got the news today, and him and William had pretty good ball games. So really fortunate. And I thought, you know, we did take our foot off the gas a little bit and didn't really execute offensively the way we could have the rest of the game. And that's a habit you don't want to get into. But, you know, credit the Rockies pitchers. You know, they held us at bay, too.
Murphy, in your experience, what's
and Junist, ninth different guy with a save this year. We're 80-some games in and got the ninth different. We got nine different saves. And
no Devin
Williams. I mean, that's pretty weird, isn't it? Does that ever happen?
You said earlier this year you were handing them out.
Handing out what?
Saves.
I did say that. And you expect me to remember that?
I mean, that was back in St. Louis in mid-April, so that tells you how early that was happening.
Yeah, I mean, we're handing out saves.
Warm night in this ballpark. Does that make Ray's outing even more impressive?
Warm night, you said? Warm, the meaning, yeah, like, usually the ball travels better at night?
Yeah,
it was impressive. I mean, the kid is... Code Red. We call him Code Red. He's he was sensational, and really sensational, and really efficient too. 90 pitches or something like that.
Yeah. The mix looked like a normal culinary start. Is that, you know, for you? What's the
I think
strategy
he went. I think he went.
Here?
I think he went more down and away fastball than he normally does. And you'd have to ask him, but I don't think he threw as many cutters. But I thought he was really good. I mean,
no walks here. Does that, I mean, that kind of shows you, right, that he's not intimidated by where he's pitching.
He had a plan and he was convicted, and he stayed with that plan and it was pretty good. And I just, you know, that shows a tremendous amount of experience and maturity, you know, to save our pen and do all that kind of stuff. And you know, Junis making only I think his third appearance or something. That was a good job.
What did you think of the approach against Dakota Hudson?
I think we did what we needed to do. We had some more opportunities to make it a bigger margin and didn't come through. But you know, we stayed after it. You know, we stayed after pretty good. You know, the innings, I want to say 6 through 9 weren't that offensively impressive. But give Lambert some credit. He threw the ball really good.
Did you find out what Willie said? Did he say any magic words there, or was it a little?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly. You know, those type of things happen. It gets emotional, and you know, that's the second time Willie was in a RBI situation. He got called out. Both really, probably really close pitches, and we'll look him on the tape later and see what you know. Mark's usually really good about it, you know. So
Capper in there, he
buzz, buzz,
yeah,
buzz is on it.
ERA champion, buzz.
We looked up Buzz Capper. Led the majors in ERA in 1974.
Did he? Yeah, that's not why I call him it. I just feel like he kind of looks like a little bumblebee out there, so I went with Buzz.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
There's always a reason.
Yeah, what about the defense, specifically Terang's flip and then Yelly's snag?
Yeah, Terang made a couple great plays, and Yelly's playing the outfield. He's an underrated outfielder. Did I see he's starting in center field in the All-Star game? I read that right?
We don't know.
The manager, I guess, has to pencil.
Tatis is out.
Funny.
Would you like to see that?
Yeah, he can do it. There's no question he can do it. You know?
Give a call to Torrey Lovello. Tell him to do it.
Put him in center? Yeah. I don't want some other manager calling me, telling me who to play where.
For an All-Star game?
Maybe they
will. If you had mentioned the other night, I think, you know, this ballpark's been tough. Whole bunch of different reasons. Just feel like, you know, you stack two wins in a row. I don't know how many guys have been part of the other six where you lost six in a row, but is that notable to you to just kind of turn it around in a place that's giving you trouble?
Yeah, I think you can't put you can't put too much emphasis on the ballpark or the conditions, the cold, whatever. Played a lot of games in Wrigley Field with the wind blowing in and cold weather and things like that. And you can, you know, you got a bunch of competitors that want to find a way. And the elements create some challenges, and you have to strategize for that, but not to the point where you change a lot of what you do. You might change your strategy, you might change your emphasis, but you still got to go compete pitch to pitch every single day for all nine. Just figure out a way. And that's you know, you just can't let it get in your head. Colin Ray didn't, that's for sure. He tells you everything you need to know about that young man, you know.
That's exactly what we were talking about earlier, where Ray knows he's going to have to pitch to contact and Coors, and he made it work. Let's hear some highlights. That's coming up next. Brewers win 3-0 over the Rockies on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game 3 of 4, Brewers and Rockies from Coors Field. Colin Ray has been fantastic for the Brewers, going up against former Cardinal Dakota Hudson. And it was already a good day for Christian Yelich. He was named to his third All-Star game. In fact, he's going to be a starting outfielder for the National League. Why not go yard?
3-1 offering. Yelich, a liner out to right, going back is Cave, looking up. Gone! Christian Yelich, number 9 of the year.
That ball was out of here in a hurry. Lane Grindle on the call. Then Colin Ray would roll in the bottom of the first, just allowing a single and having a 7-pitch inning to set the tone for what the rest of the night would entail. Next up, it was the second inning in a very Brewers-like frame. A 2-out walk to Sal Frelick. He got to second on a wild pitch. Jake Bowers, with 2 strikes on him, gets the job
1-2 done. 1-2 pitch. Bowers lines one into right for a base hit. Frelick around third. He's on his way home. He will score. An RBI single for Jake Bowers. The Brewers lead it 2-0.
The Brewers would have some opportunities in the middle portion of this game, including a big one in the fifth inning with the bases loaded and only 1 out. Willie Adames would strike out looking. He had a tough day. In fact, he was arguing balls and strikes and was ejected after that strikeout. The next batter was Garrett Mitchell, and he stayed patient.
3-0 pitch. Mitchell was taking all the way, took outside. It's a bases-loaded walk.
How about that? Easy way to get the RBI. It was 3-0 Brewers. However, Rhys Hoskins would ground out to end the frame. Meanwhile, Colin Ray is rolling. Got a double play in the second inning. Left the man stranded in the fourth. Left the man stranded in the fifth. He kept on going, and he got through 7 shutout innings at Coors Field. Some rare air for him. In the eighth, Jacob Junis takes over, and he got some help from his defense. It's that all-star in the outfield.
A 1. Fly ball deep left. Yelich going back. Yelich at the warning track. Reaches up and makes the catch. Banging up against the wall in the process.
Man, it's the Wayne Grindle show tonight, isn't it? But Yelly made a great catch. Kept the eighth inning scoreless. And then end the game in style for Junis, becoming the ninth different Brewer to get a save this year.
The 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Jacob Junis slams the door in the ninth, and the Brewers shut out the Rockies at Coors Field here tonight. A final of 3-0.
Fun one for the Crew. They got a chance to win a four-game series on the road tomorrow for taking the trip southwest down to Los Angeles. We'll say goodnight after this. Brewers win on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, we get ready to say good night here. Tomorrow, for your holiday listening, we are live. Different start time than the last couple of nights. We're back to a little more regular 7:10 Central Time tomorrow. I am on the air at 6 with Brewers warm-up. Network coverage will take over at 6:35. 7:10, have us on in the background while you're watching the fireworks across Wisconsin. The Brewers will send Tobias Myers to the mound going up against Cal Quantrill. As for the rest of the weekend, some late nights ahead. Friday will be a 9:05 first pitch from Dodgers Stadium, so get your coffee ready for that one. I should say 9:10, but what's the difference? 8 o'clock, I'll be on the air with Brewers warm-up. Saturday, it is a 6:15 first pitch. If you're one of the folks that likes to sync up your television, we're on national TV that day on Fox. Sync it up at 6:15, and I'm on at 5. And then finally on Sunday, it will be a 3:10 first pitch, and I'm on the air at 2 with Brewers warm-up. Quick look around the league before we say goodnight. A couple of good results in the eyes of the Brewers and the Central. The Pirates walked off the Cardinals today. O'Neill Cruz with a walk-off single. They win 5-4 in 10 innings, and the Cubs blow another lead late. They lose to the Phillies 5-3 as the up to the second standings here in the National League. The Brewers in first by 7 games over the Cardinals. The Brewers at 52-35. The Cardinals are at 44-41. Pirates are 41-44. And I didn't mention the Reds. They won a series against the Yankees. They can go for a sweep tomorrow against the Bronx Bombers. Cincinnati's 41-45. And then finally Chicago, they're in last place at 39-48. I don't think anybody expected them to be thinking about what the Cubs need to be doing at the trade deadline if they could be sellers in year one of Craig Counsell. But the Brewers fans are not going to complain about that 1 second here as we prepare to celebrate 4th of July tomorrow. So hope you have a safe and happy holiday. We'll be with you here on the air until then. My name is Dominic Catronio. My thanks to Nate Rilling producing, as well as Matt Yazel. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.